Thank the Lord for the song. Didn't know how much I needed it. It's such a comfort to know His arms are holding us. There's so many events in life that I don't know what we would do if He wasn't holding us up. So I thank the Lord that He anointed that song to my heart this morning. We need your prayers. We are certainly leaning on the Lord. Our thoughts this morning are not going to be new. It's going to be very familiar. The 23rd Psalms is a book among 150 chapters of Psalms. It's probably one of the most familiar of all of the Psalms. That particular book has been used probably more than all of the other books. It's been used as messages, maybe Bible studies, maybe devotions. It's a book that the 23rd Psalms is a chapter that has been probably memorized by more people than most chapters. When we think of Psalms, it's sometimes called the Book of David, and yet David did not write all of them. He did write the 23rd Psalms. But he wrote the majority of the Book of Psalms. And if you look up comments on it through commentators, you'll find that some will say, well, the theme of the Book of Psalms is probably praise and prayer. A lot is said in the Psalms about praising the Lord, or David's prayer before the Lord. It is also said that it is one of two books that is most quoted in the New Testament, the other book being Isaiah. So the book of Psalms is a very important book. I know when I look in the book of Psalms, I have many of the verses underlined, and at some point in time, the Lord has anointed those passages to me. And I would say that as long as time goes on, that it's going to be inspired to someone as another generation's come on, just as was spoken of the Sunday school verses this morning from the 119th Psalms. So, the book of Psalms is a very important book of the Bible. A lot of what David has written in the book of Psalms sounds like it is full of complaints. Oftentimes, David is complaining or appealing to the Father because of his enemies. But the 23rd Psalms is one chapter that is full of hope. It is full of comfort. When we read those six verses, just six little verses, I believe that every verse is just full of something that would increase my faith and my trust in the Lord. Each one of those verses. I believe that it helps us to have the assurance that God is still the same. It speaks of the goodness of the Lord. When I sometimes study the commentators, I find this particular word numerous times, and it's constancy. So I looked that word up. I knew that it came from the word constant. And we know, we're familiar with these meanings. But I do love definitions. So constancy means steadiness and faithfulness in purpose and actions and affection. That's just a dictionary definition. It also means unchanging and consistent. So as we look at the 23rd Psalms today, we would have to say that the consistency of God is represented in those verses. As I thought of the definition for that, I thought of the song that we have, The Unchanging Word. We are living in such a changing world. So many things are changing around us in our society, in our government, in even what we might feel like is in the future. It seems as though it is always something is changing. And right now we're in a political time, and what is mainly the foundation of all of their speeches? Change. And yet we as human beings, if we were serving a changing God, where would we be? But we are serving a God who doesn't change, who has been the same down through the ages of time to every generation. And he gave us his word that he said, I change not. He gave us his word that he said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Familiar scriptures. Maybe we use them in our prayer as we address him. Father, I know that you are the same and that you change not. So as we think of this 23rd Psalms, we think of God as being unchangeable. One verse of that song always leaves an impression on me. It says, when earth shall cease to be and the heavens pass away, the unchanging word of God we'll see just as it is today. So we thank the Lord that we have constancy in the Lord and in his word. This particular psalm is entitled The Psalm of the Divine Shepherd. That's in my book, in my Bible. Last Sunday, we finished the message with a scripture from Job 22, verse 21, and it said, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. So part of the thoughts we have this morning is that we be acquainted with the Lord, that we have a relationship with him, that we understand him, that we believe in him, that we trust in him. And that's getting acquainted with him so that it's not new when I open the word of the Lord and I begin to study his word. And I read a scripture and it is so anointed to me and made alive, then that acquaints me with him even more. So the first verse of the 23rd Psalms, we could all quote, we probably memorized it when we were a child. But it stays with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We want to speak to you about the two parts of that first verse, about the Lord being our shepherd and Him supplying all of our needs, that we have no want. As we think about the shepherd, David being the author, David understood what it was to be a shepherd. David knew it by experience because David was a little shepherd boy. He understood the needs of the sheep. He understood that sheep required care and protection. Sheep are different from other animals. They can't really defend themselves. One description was that sheep were unique in that they were dumb. And that seemed a little bit harsh to judge sheep in that way. But it said that a sheep could be in sight of the sheepfold and still not know how to get there, could actually be able to see it and would not just automatically go into the sheepfold. That's hard to comprehend, that an animal could be that dumb. And so a sheep is an animal that requires special care and guidance, and a special shepherd that knows how to do that. A shepherd does not drive the sheep. Sheep cannot be driven. They will just simply scatter in terror and in panic. They are an animal that has to be taken care of completely different than cattle. Now, if you've had any experience with milk cows, it's almost like they know the time sometimes when it's time to go to the barn. Maybe one cow will be the leader, and they'll start that way. Have you ever watched cows out in a field? If one starts one way, they all just get to looking, and pretty soon they're all just going wherever that cow's leading. Sheep are not that way. I did not know all of this. I had to read some of it to understand it. So David knew that sheep were unique and that they required provision. You have to provide for them. They will stay in one place and eat until the grass is completely gone and there is just dirt there. So they have to be moved to certain places to keep the grass where that they can be provided for in food. Actually, sheep need constancy. The very word that we started off with is what sheep need. They need consistency. They need unchanging care. They need it to be the same. I read that literally, and I don't want this to be applied spiritually necessarily, but literally, in certain countries where there are a lot of sheep and shepherds, that's their vocation, they would all bring their sheep into one place at night. It's not safe for sheep to be out alone in a wilderness or a place where they would be subject to predators. And so all of the shepherds would bring their sheep into one fold. In the morning, when it's time for them to go back out to feed, the shepherd would have a unique and special call. And out of all of these sheep that are together with several shepherds, his own sheep would know his voice. And they would begin to separate themselves from all of the sheep and follow their shepherd. That's literal. I mean, that happens. Well, of course, we all know what the word of the Lord says. Because he used himself. Jesus used himself, and he told us. He said, I am the good shepherd. So I'd like for us to look at the good shepherd this morning in John the 10th chapter. We're going to read several verses. Desire you to pray that the Lord will anoint his word. Going to look at verses 1 through 5 to start off with. And Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in by the door unto the sheepfold. See, he's using even the sheepfold as a picture that you and I can relate to. But climbeth up some other way. The same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For he that is an hireling and is not the shepherd, he seeth the wolf coming, and he leaveth the sheep, and he fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth them. Aren't you glad for the true shepherd this morning? That he's not willing to leave you if he sees the wolf or he sees danger. He doesn't leave his people. Again, he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Oh, I thank the Lord for these little passages this morning to refresh our minds. That he is the good shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Verse 13, it says, the hireling, and then the last part of that verse says, careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, again he said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As I read that passage, I remembered the scripture that says that the seal of the Lord is this, that he knoweth every one that belongeth to him. He knows his sheep, and he understands what our needs are. I want to incorporate a scripture over in Isaiah 40. That tells us a little bit more about what he does as a shepherd. And it's verse 11. And it says, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. It gives such a precious picture of the shepherd. I remember Sister Burdett testifying one time. At the time, I was going through a very difficult place. Seemed like I was dry. I couldn't seem to really feel the life in me. I was still doing all of the right things. Some of you have heard my testimony, how that I was praying on my way to school. as I would go with Sister Catherine different places, we never wasted time in the car. We prayed everywhere we went. And so I felt like that I could do the same, and I was praying on my way to school every morning. And the Lord blessed that for a time. And then I began going into this place of feeling dry. And I didn't understand, and I was crying out to the Lord and saying, "Lord, what is wrong?" And Sister Burdett had a testimony then about the sheep and the shepherds. And it was that the shepherd always led the sheep out very early in the morning. And they licked the dew off of the grass. And the article said that oftentimes that was the only water that they would have all day. It would be difficult to find places for them to drink. But as they went out to their pastures, they licked the dew off of the grass. As she gave her testimony that night, the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is your problem. You need to give me your first in the morning. You need to be licking the dew." And I said to the Lord, I made a covenant with the Lord. I said, "I'll do it. I'll get up earlier. I'll take time." Oftentimes before, I would nearly fall asleep praying and wasn't too good about getting up early to pray before I left, and that's why I prayed in my car. I wasn't going to go to sleep at my wheel. And the Lord met me in that place. And He began to bless me in prayer until I would almost pray too long and almost be late for school. So there's lessons that you and I can learn about sheep and about the shepherd that leads the sheep. He will be faithful to your soul and to my soul because He loves us. He desires for you and me to make heaven. He desires it more than you desire it yourself. He wants to put the things in your life that will guide you in that place, that will lead you in the right path. We're living in a time where the Scripture tells us that there is a broad way and that it leads to destruction. And it says many go in thereat, but there is a narrow way. And our humanity will probably not choose that way if we're left to ourselves. But when we are following the shepherd and we know His voice, the Scripture tells us a little bit about His voice. He's not loud. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, if the Lord ever called me to preach, He'd have to drop something down on top of my head"? And I've heard people say that. I might have even said that myself. But He guides and He leads with a still small voice. The prophet in the Old Testament, he gave us an example of the voice of the Lord. And there was an earthquake, and there was wind, and there was fire. And he said it was not in any of those things. But afterwards, there came a still, small voice. You know, the shepherd knows his sheep, but the shepherd wants his sheep to know his voice. There are people that have difficulty understanding the will of the Lord for their life. There are individuals that want it so desperately and seek sometimes for it, and the enemy takes advantage. And what does the devil do? He appears as an angel of life or light. He is a deceiver. He wants to cause you to think, "This is the will of the Lord for your life." But if you will put your hand in His hand, if you will trust Him and wait on Him, if you will allow Him, He will be a shepherd to you, and He will lead you in right paths. He will never drive you. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to drive ourselves. I remember a number of years ago, as a matter of fact, to tell you how long ago, it was before Doug and Lenita went to Honduras the first time. And it seemed as though in my ministry, I could not be satisfied. It seemed like I couldn't do enough. I didn't do it right. I was pushing, driving myself, and I was nearly to break. But I shall never forget it. Brother Doug was the Sunday school teacher for the adult class at that time, and he just read that passage. It wasn't part of the lesson. He simply read the verse. And it was, "If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you." And the Spirit of the Lord anointed that to me, and I got a hold of it by faith. And I rested in the Lord, and I said, "Lord, if I don't do enough, you're able to show me. Or if I don't do it right, you're able to show me." Do you know that there is a rest to the people of God? To the sheep of the shepherd, He has a rest for you and me. It's partly us trusting, but it's partly us just resting in Him and believing that He will lead us right. He can correct us. He knows how. And I rested in that. And the Lord seemed to bless me more after that than ever before. So, trusting in the Good Shepherd. This part that says that He is the door. Sometimes the shepherds would take their sheep and put them in a large cave. Maybe they couldn't make it back to the sheepfold. They were never left out in the field at night. Remember that. And it said that the shepherd would put his body in the mouth of the cave, in the door. He was protecting his sheep. No predator would get past him, see. Do you believe the Lord wants to protect you? Protect your spiritual life? He does. He's willing to give His own life. He gave His own life. But even now, as He leads you as a little lamb, as His sheep, He's willing to put His life between you and danger, between you and the enemy, between you and the devil. We may have enemies. We may have those that we feel are not for us. But I want to tell you, the devil is your real enemy. He is the one that wants to kill, to steal, and destroy. He has his sight set on your life, on your soul. He's willing to work a lifetime. He will work till your last breath. When Christian and Hopeful were crossing over the river, and Christian, if you remember that part, the river was in flood stage. He could not find a footing as he crossed over. And the enemy was there. He began to try to bring back the sins of his youth in his crossing over. He began to accuse. You know, we sort of had a little conversation in Wednesday night prayer meeting. What does the enemy want to do? He wants to be an accuser. He is. an accuser of the brethren. Christian felt like that he was going to be lost right there at the end. He had gone all of his way to the celestial city, and he thought he was going to be lost. But oh, what did Hopeful do? He found the rock. And he said, "No, brother, here's the solid rock." It was hope that brought him over. I want to tell you, it's going to be hope. Hoping in the Good Shepherd that knows how to lead his sheep. He knows he has one voice, and he wants you and me to get acquainted with that voice. That the enemy can't appear as an angel of light and convince you to do something that is wrong. He won't do it. Or even to confuse you. Don't you know the enemy loves to confuse? Isn't that one of the ways that we identify Satan? Confusion is of the devil. So when we work with individuals, or even when we're in a battle ourselves, if we're in confusion, what do? We stop and we say, the scripture says, confusion is of the devil. We identify the source of the problem or the battle. And we can resist it then. I am so thankful that the Lord does not leave us as ignorant sheep that cannot find its way. We have a little parable that Jesus gave, and he talked about one sheep that was lost. And the shepherd did what? Oh, you might say, but wait a minute. Did he really leave everybody just for one? He didn't leave them until they were secure. I believe that. He made sure his sheep were secure. And then he went. And it says, he left the 99. And he went and sought after the one that was lost. And when he found that one that was lost, he carried it back to the fold. Thank the Lord. A beautiful picture. And some bodies down through the ages of time, artists that had the ability to paint, draw, have made pictures of the shepherd with that one little lamb over his shoulders, bringing it back to the fold. It's a reminder of us. That's how much he cares that you and I not be lost. He's searching for us if we're lost. He's seeking after us. Thank the Lord. I had another thought come to my mind about the shepherd and the sheep. The scripture talks about being cast down. And this word cast down, we often think of it as just being down in our spirit. And it can mean that. And probably all of us have experienced being cast down in our spirit. But it's also an example of the sheep. That is a term of a sheep that is cast down. Did you know that if a sheep gets off balance and gets on his back, that he cannot get up by himself? That is impossible. It takes someone coming and lifting that sheep up and putting it back on its feet. That's just common knowledge with the shepherds. That's why they have to watch their sheep. They have to know where they are. Sometimes when a sheep is lost, he is somewhere fallen into a ditch or something, and he's cast down. He's on his back. He can't get up. The information that I have heard on this is that when their legs are up in the air, the blood flow quits coming into the legs and they become numb. And so even when they are set upon their feet, it takes time. It takes a special process of rubbing their legs to get the blood circulating in the legs again before they can even stand up. But a sheep that is cast down, did you know it will die? If it's not found in time, it will die. That's why it is so important that we not allow the enemy to plague our minds with depression and oppression. He wants to affect us to the point that we become crippled, that we're cast down, that we're in this position that we cannot help ourselves. And it takes someone to come and help us. It takes Jesus. We can trust in Him to lift us up. The scripture says He is a lifter up of our heads. And He will help us. This is a shepherd that is a good shepherd, that wants you to be a healthy sheep. He wants you to follow His voice, to hear His voice, be acquainted with His voice. Thank the Lord. So that's about the shepherd. I like pictures of the sheep and the shepherd, don't you? I think they're beautiful. Well, I'd like to close our discourse this morning and talk to us a little bit on the last half of that verse. That I shall not want. Children are so different when they're young and they want this and they want that and they want toys. And I think one time I asked the little children in here, what would you ask for? I think I might have given them a scripture that He would, anything we ask in His name, He will do it. Well, at that age, you know, they want a bicycle. And they want this and that. Their minds are geared to think of the material things. I think that maybe we know we're maturing when we look beyond the material things and we associate that scripture. Anything ye ask in My name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. And when we look away from the things of this earth that's going to burn up, and we realize I need more help spiritually than I'll ever need food in my cabinet or closet. So I shall not want. You know, the Lord never said that He would supply every one of our wants. And as we compared the little children, different stages of life, we sort of want other things, different things. But like I said, when we come to the place that we know I need His help spiritually above everything in my life. He said that if we would seek first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, what did He say? All of these things will be added. Whatever you need, and even some of your wants. Maybe just some heart's desire. He said also, He said, if ye delight yourselves in Me, what will I do? Give you the desire of your heart. I've had the Lord do that. I have gone before the Lord with a need, and I've said, Lord, if you judge me as delighting in You, would You consider giving me the desire of my heart? I've had Him do that. He loves giving good gifts to His children. He's also not only compared as a shepherd, but he's compared as a father. And he said, if the children come and they ask a fish, will I give them a serpent? He wants to give good gifts unto his children. He delights in doing that. But I think the key is, are you delighting in him? Are you enjoying living for the Lord? Do you find the blessings of the Lord better than the food that you eat? Job said that. He said, I desire it more than the food. So, I shall not want. Philippians, the 4th chapter, verse 19. It says, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Now, that takes getting acquainted with him, to have faith that he will supply those needs with. Is he a rich God? Have you become so acquainted with him that you know your heavenly Father has all that he says that you will abound? There is a scripture that we hear quoted, and it's often quoted, but not correctly. But it means the same. Sometimes we get a scripture in our mind and we just put it in our own words. But there is a scripture that says that it belongs to him, and so we say he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And when do we use that? Have you ever heard people say that? Use that scripture? Oh, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's there. And it's true. But we do it when we're in a specific financial need, don't we? Oh, the Lord knows how to supply my financial needs because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Did you know the Lord is more interested in us having faith and believing his word and trusting in him? And it often doesn't happen right at the moment that we think it should or we desire it to happen, because he's wanting us to prove ourselves. Do we love the giver or do we love the gift? Let us love the giver above the gift. Let us say, Lord, I choose you above all. Thou art my heavenly Father. Father, thou art my true shepherd. I am but dumb. I know not. What other scripture comes to your mind? It says the way of man is not in himself to direct his own steps. So we have to recognize, I need this from you, Father. You're the only one that can supply this spiritual need or this mental need or this emotional need or this. I want to tell you, he is able to supply for the whole man, for the whole person. He's not just looking on your soul only. He created you, and he knows how to help you and me in our emotions and in our spirit, in our mind. And he knows. Oh, I thought about that song. Just to know that he knows, that my Lord understands. Someone had to know something. They were acquainted with the Lord to know how important it was to believe. He knew me as a person. He knew my life. He knew my past. He knows my present. He knows my future. And he knows how to help me. Just to know that he knows. In Psalms 27, verse 25, It says, I have been young and I am now old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed doing what? Begging bread. See, the word of the Lord is familiar. And I have to say that when we have those that come and beg for money here in the chapel, I have to say they might not be righteous. Because this says the righteous will not be begging bread. Why do I say that? Does that sound hard? Does that sound judgmental? It's because I'm acquainted with the Maker. I'm acquainted with the Shepherd. I'm acquainted with Him as the Father. That we can go to Him personally. I had to look at some of the examples. You remember the one of the woman that she her children was going to be sold? And the prophet came, and what did he tell her to do? He gave her the answer of how to support herself. And it worked. So those that are righteous ought to be able to go to the Father and get the answer for their problems. We've got to have that kind of faith. He told her, he said, you go out there and you borrow all the vessels that you can find. She had a pot of oil. And then he said, you go in your house with your children and you close the door and you begin to pour that oil out. And it filled every vessel and it didn't stop until she had filled every vessel. If she had had more vessels, do you think it would have filled more vessels? It would have. And she went and sold it and paid off the debt and they were free. Now that's the kind of shepherd I see. That's the kind of Heavenly Father that He does for His children. So, I haven't seen them begging bread. And then there's the other account. It was Elijah. And he was sent. Now, we're talking about the Lord supplying all of our needs. And he ran for his life and he was out there. He was in the wilderness, and did God let him starve to death? No. The ravens came and fed him, and he was by a brook. When the brook dried up, God sent him then somewhere else to get his needs supplied. And where was it? It was to the widow woman that was gathering some sticks to prepare the last meal, and then they were going to die. It didn't say they were going out to beg. They were trusting in the one that could give it. And here comes the prophet, and God sent that prophet exactly to her. God was hearing her cry. And he went there and he said, fix me one first. And she said, this is the last of it. He said, do it for me first. It was a test. And he did it. She did it. And the barrel never went empty. The cruse of oil was always there. I want to tell you, we're serving a mighty God and we've got to have faith that He can take care of our wants and our needs according to His riches in glory. Have faith in God. We are serving the great Shepherd and He knows how to help His sheep. Recognize that you are nothing. That you can do nothing. Recognize your humanity and your total dependence on God. Oh, that's what He's looking for. That's what He loves. He loves to see us come down to a place that we're just depending on Him fully. Lord, help us all. May the Lord bless some of these thoughts to you today, and that I would encourage you to go back to the 23rd Psalms and just begin to study it for yourself. Make it part of your devotions. Just take it verse by verse and let it sink down into your hearts. Pray for me. I need the Lord. I need the Lord desperately. We all do. We need Him. Amen.